You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. What you're about to hear is about more than just football. It's about life. This is Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Now, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Yes, yes, yes. Good morning, Wisconsin. Wipe the dust out your eyes, because it's Monday morning with snow, baby. What's up, Earl?
All right. Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. It's Monday, and Monday with Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. I've been doing some thinking.
Uh-oh. Lord Jesus, it's Monday morning. You know, last Monday was heavy Monday. What is it today?
So I'm thinking, let's see. We're coming up with the
Here come y'all.
The draft.
I think you got an Aaron Rodgers fetish.
Well, it's okay. We're coming up with the draft.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming up with the trade deadlines and those kind of things, right?
All that stuff.
I was thinking, man, maybe I ought to trade you in for Aaron Rodgers.
Trade me in?
Yeah.
No. No.
Hey, man, no. Everybody else is, you know, no. Rodgers. Everybody talking about Rodgers, no. Man.
Earl, that'd be the biggest mistake in your life.
Hey, man.
Biggest mistake in your life,
Earl.
Let's
see if Aaron Rodgers is ready to do this.
Oh, he ready. All them quarterbacks are always ready. They get all, like, look at, what's old boy named Tom Brady?
Yeah,
he
yeah.
fell off the football field and got millions.
Man, what are you talking about, man?
To run his mouth.
He's going to be getting paid more money
than
all the rest of them cats almost combined.
Man, $340 what's that other dude
million.
That,
dollars.
What's the other dude name used to play for Dallas?
Oh, man, he was...
Walking around with sketches
yeah,
on.
Yeah, and he was horrible.
He from Wisconsin, too.
Yeah, Tony Romo.
There he is.
Yeah, man. Hey, and
there he is.
Terrible, man.
Look like somebody done bumped his head four times, and he got millions.
Yeah, they made him...
Tony
they
Romo.
Paid him a lot of money. Let me ask you, man. You mentioned Aaron Rodgers. The whole world is talking about Aaron Rodgers.
The whole world?
Well...
I wouldn't say the whole world.
A whole lot of people.
A lot of people turn the TV off.
Hey, it's a lot more people talking about Aaron Rodgers than Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram, unfortunately. Mm. But Aaron Rodgers is just telling people, again, just relax. The people don't want to relax, man. You tried that. You got away with that, you know,
I told you, is there an offensive tackle talking like this? Is there a wide receiver talking like that? Is there a coach talking like he does? No. Because you want to know why? Quarterbacks rule the world.
Well,
he might ride past it right now and tell you to shut up, Earl. Shut up, Earl.
Well, I can understand if it's Lamar Jackson.
What's the difference? Lamar Jackson ain't got three MVPs.
He's 27 years old.
Do Lamar Jackson got three MVPs?
No,
do he got a Super Bowl yet?
The point is he's 27 years
that
old.
That ain't got nothing to do with it.
He got the whole future ahead of him.
That ain't got nothing to do with
There's a 40-year-old man, Gilbert. 40.
And can put the ball between a needle thread if he have to. Steal. We wouldn't be talking about him.
Okay. So phone lines are open at 844-967.
Please help me, because Earl don't know what he's talking about.
2789.
Lord
what
Jesus.
What is the phone number? 844-967-2789.
CTE.
Is it time?
There it is.
I'm just saying, man, is it time? Is it time?
What is it time for what?
Should Aaron Rodgers go or should he stay? When you listen
that is not y'all decision.
No, I mean, but the fans.
The fans, yes. They can say what they want to say. They can jump off that building and say, if Aaron Rodgers don't tell me I'm jumping out. No. It don't matter what you say or do. He has the keys to the car.
It does matter what Mike Murphy
Mike Murphy in the front office, which sometimes they don't make all the right decisions either.
Well, I didn't say he make the right decisions, Mike.
Because you know what's pissing the person off the most?
What?
All these guys restructuring their contracts. Because they restructuring their contracts in the way because they thinking Aaron Rodgers is coming back. We got to make room so we can keep him and they can go out and get players.
So let me ask you. So do you think those players would be restructuring their contracts otherwise?
If Aaron Rodgers, if he told them they was leaving, no, pay me.
Well, I thought you said that they don't lose any money in the restructured deal.
They do, they don't, and then they do. They push it all the way back to the end. Anything can happen to you at the end. You see what I'm saying? They push all that big money to the end, okay? You're not guaranteed that you're going to finish out these 4 years.
So when you sign a contract.
Man, when you sign a contract, if we was in the NBA, you guaranteed. If you was in baseball, you guaranteed. But we play football, the most violent sport in the world. We can't guarantee you that money, sir.
Okay, so it doesn't matter who your agent is.
No. The agent ain't doing nothing but mopping the floor.
But the bottom line, Gilbert, then, is when they say you just signed a contract for $35 million,
that's why you ain't going to get it.
Is that why you guys asked for a bigger signing bonus up front?
Yes, the bigger you sign, because that's guaranteed money. That's the only guaranteed money you guys are signing bonus, period. Incentives. You got to do a gang of incentives so you can get some money, Earl. They're not going to give you that money because you can fall out. You can go out and break your ankle, do whatever, or trip and fall on the field like some of these players do, and they out for 6 weeks.
So all of this negotiations, even you were a star player, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were a star player.
I was a five-star.
Okay, you
don't say two. Don't say one. I was a five-star.
I was a
man among men beating on me.
So we talking past tense was.
Oh, I'll show you early if you want me to. I'll show you. I still got it.
My hair used to be black. Right?
Yeah, it used to be black. Hey,
and these used to be muscles.
But it's about to get whiter if you keep talking.
And these used to be muscles.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, right.
But you know, but so all of that time, Gilbert, as a star player,
mm-hmm.
you were never comfortable from the standpoint, Earl,
let me break it down for you. You can never be comfortable playing in the NFL. Let me tell you why. Some people think we go to work and just show up for a game. No. When you go over there at 1265 Lombardi Avenue, sometimes some of the guys come in at 6 or 6:30 in the morning, and you don't get out of there to 5, 6 o'clock at night. That's every day. Your day off is on Tuesday, okay? You get a Tuesday. But it's not really your day off because guess what the team is doing?
Meeting.
While you are off on your day off, they bringing in a guy that plays your position. And if he is anywhere near good as you but cheaper, they going to get him. So what you got to do, Earl, even on your day off, you better go over there and show your face. You better go over there and get in the weight room. You better go over there and put some time in the clock so they see you doing what you have to do. And some guys be like, oh, I ain't going in on Tuesday. It's my day off, man. I need to spend time with my wife and all that. No, man. You better get your butt in there.
So the commitment, the time commitment.
It ain't the time commitment, Earl. They always looking to replace you, period. They don't care. The only person that's safe is Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. That's the only people that's safe.
So listen, man. I just do think, man, that people are tired. Of it. They tired of Aaron Rodgers.
I don't care. You can be tired. What you gonna do about it? Nothing. Sit there and be tired. That's all you can do because at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers is driving the car, period. He gonna either get out the car and move on or he gonna stay in the car and keep driving. You can't do nothing but be mad.
Yeah, well.
Because he's quarterback.
I got that, man.
I've been dealing with this all my life.
Gilbert, they got another quarterback behind them, Jordan Love.
Who? Who'd you say?
Hey, well, that's not what Mike Murphy's saying. Mike Murphy is saying, hey, he's ready. You know what? Yeah,
that's all tough talk, man. You better shut up. That's all tough talk, man. I'm telling you. I mean, I got confidence in Jordan Love. I like Jordan Love. But if you got the chance to keep a three-time MVP Super Bowl champion.
That's got to end sometime.
Yeah, it's got to end because I know Jordan Love sitting there like, man, I ain't going to sit around for two more years and wait on this boy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, like I said, Aaron Rodgers got the keys to the car, and if he want to drive it for two more years, he going to drive it for two more years.
Okay, so to take it from the perspective of Barack Obama, when he became president, he talked about the Republicans driving the car into the ditch. What you want Aaron Rodgers to drive the car into the ditch? Because he at the point, man, where...
You know what? He going to drive it in the ditch? Who going to stop him?
Hey, man.
Who going to stop him? I'm just trying to give you facts. I'm giving you facts, Earl.
So your thing is the Packers
fans... If he was a tackle, a receiver, or whatever... Shut up, boy, and get in that corner until we call you out. He Aaron Rodgers. Sir, we're gonna work with you, sir.
That may be that way here in Green Bay. But stuff I've been reading about what the media in New York, if they get a hold to him, he ain't gonna get away with that. Yeah, because they're gonna completely restructure.
It's a different market. It's a different market. But see what? Here's the thing though. Once he leave Green Bay, all that mystique is gone. You know, it's a different market in Green Bay.
Right.
It's a different market. When he get out there to New York, they're going to eat him alive. All that pretty boy stuff.
Yeah.
And get your head. That's all over.
We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789.
Somebody please call me.
844-967-2789 is the phone number. It's Monday. That means Monday's with the grave digger. And you, we'll be right back. So what comes?
Love for real, or could it be lust that I feel? You got it going on and on, like a wheel, fly sex appeal.
There he goes.
Smell sweet dress.
The hell
you
stuff.
Got me open like a token. Hot and smoke.
Just listen to him.
Bubble bath, laugh, joking, candlelight, talking about how you the X-Men fight.
Uh-huh.
Sight, be saying white.
They
listen,
say
seafood dishes, wine cooler, champagne wishes.
Waterbed hair. That's the CD right there, Earl. Waterbed hair.
Waterbed what?
Waterbed have.
Waterbed
have.
Have.
Like short for heavy.
Oh.
Come on, man. Come on. I'm tired of carrying you, Earl. Come on.
Right,
come
on. Back to the
Lord Jesus. You cannot be that
you
old.
You can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. At least I've heard of Heavy D.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
And I couldn't tell if that was Heavy D or if that was another boy from New York.
Biggie,
yeah.
Their flows are so different.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay,
so let me ask you something. Why are you talking about flows, man?
Guess what?
What?
I was watching XFL yesterday. Somebody
really?
You don't really like watching that.
And
guess who was on?
Playing?
Former Green Bay Packer quarterback Brett Huntley.
Really?
Yes. Looked pretty good yesterday. And his offensive coordinator, who was in Green Bay, Ray Sherman.
You know, man.
So why you sitting up here dissing on the XFL, which their head coach was Hall of Famer Rod Woodson?
So they're not on
ESPN.
Oh, ESPN.
See what I'm saying?
Well, I got to figure out, man, because I think I got about 30 ESPN channels.
So Earl, I get to your question. I'm sorry for cutting you off.
Hey, man, let me.
I'm just giving people trivia, but go ahead.
Hey, but so Gilbert, so here we are. This is really tough time right now for guys in the NFL, those who rookies.
Yeah.
And also guys who.
Yeah.
Really, they're nervous, right?
Players. That's what I'm saying, Earl. You have to be able to hold on to your job in the NFL. That's why they say it's not for long. You got to always put in the work.
Oh, so NFL stands for not for long.
That's what we say, yeah. Not for long. Not for long. You got to be a bad man to play 10 years. I played 10.
Yeah, I was telling you, I've been reading some stuff about you, man. You were a pretty bad boy.
You just not figuring that out,
well,
right?
I mean, I saw you.
You saw me.
I watched all the games.
You know what? Before you say something, the greatest compliment for me coming from somebody was when the offensive coordinator would come down from other teams and come and say, Gilbert, we had to change our whole blocking scheme because of you. That is an honor.
Let me ask you, man. You got little hands. My hands are almost as big as yours.
No, let me slap you upside your head and you see how little these hands are.
I mean, for a cat your size and one of the toughest players in the history of the NFL, I would think you have some mammoth hands.
No, it ain't about what you got. It's about how much heart you got, Earl.
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell the people what you want to tell them about why I am the toughest man in one of these.
Well, you know, I've been reading some stuff, man. All they got to do is Google toughest players in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
And your name comes up in many different areas.
Okay.
And I was kind of surprised. I wasn't going to say I was surprised because you're a little bit bigger then than you are now.
I was a lot bigger than I was. Yeah. I was two boxcars together. Thank God I ain't like that now.
And so you were what they called just a stopper. You were a stuffer, right?
A run stopper.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, what you would do is clog up everything.
Yeah. That's why I only had 7 sacks, Earl. My job was to stop the run. They brought people in to stop the quarterback.
Right.
My job was to push the rabbit out of the hole. So the quarterback was the rabbit. I got to put pressure to get him out of the hole.
And you had to be tough.
Yes.
So let me ask you, with all the different nose tackles that you know of historically, and I'm sure you studied many of them.
Yes, I have.
Who would you say historically was the toughest nose tackle?
Oh, man. I'm going to say me. No.
Next.
No, I'm going to say it's been so many. Joe Klecko. Mean Joe Green, you know, but here's the thing. I am a true nose tackle.
Right, those guys.
You know,
so
they're defensive tackles, three techniques, you know. I'm a true nose tackle that played the zero shade to the one shade, to the one. They're right there next to the center. No one plays a true nose tackle anymore. You see what I'm saying? Because you get your tail beat, because you get exposed.
Double teamed.
You get exposed, yes, if you're down there. And I was a true nose tackle. And that's probably why, you know, I would probably never make it to the Hall of Fame. Because I was a true nose tackle that did his job, which was to keep the guard. I'm an offensive lineman playing defense.
So Perry, the refrigerator, was a nose guard.
He was a defensive tackle.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He went from 2 to 3 to, you know, he played nose some too. Yeah. But I was true.
You know, Gilbert, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Look, we got a treat for you guys.
Uh-oh.
You know.
Uh-oh.
Let me see. Is that after the break? Yeah.
It's after the break.
Yeah, we got a treat for you guys coming up. after the break. And
I kept his face pretty.
Yeah. Well, he all right.
He pretty. He pretty.
He all right, man.
I kept his face.
When
pretty.
My hair is black, you, I'm pretty.
Earl, you need to fall in. You need to fall in a box full of dark and lovely.
Gotta go to a break. 844-967-2727.
Please call somebody.
Should
please
we,
help
should
me.
We? Should we let him know who? Let the people know who's gonna be joining us until, maybe after the break.
Not cool.
Yeah. Dr. George Kuhn, linebacker for the Green Bay Packers, will
Get
be joining
there, cool.
us. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Hey, man.
Listen to the flow. This is totally different. Well, you hear what he said? My Detroit players. Come on. Come on. Let it breathe, Earl, before you say something. Let it breathe. Come on. Hey, Papa and Pop.
Hey, Gilbert, I wonder if when you get to be 70 years old.
I'm going to still pop. Because let me tell you, Earl, I'll be driving a 64 Lincoln Continental with the suicide doors, all the windows down, a dobber, and a stogie at the red light. And guess what I'm going to be playing? Biggie.
Hey, man. Woo! Listen, welcome back to Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger on
yes,
the
sir.
Earl Ingram Show. As
Y'all
always,
better wake up.
You
it's
can
Monday.
Join us at 844-967-2789. And I guess you got a special guest.
Yes. Let me bring him in. Ladies and gentlemen, he is not only a doctor, he is not only a Green Bay Packer legend, but he is a friend, and I love this man to death. Give it up for Dr. George Kuhn.
Hey,
Bay.
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Wisconsin.
Hey, good morning,
good morning all over.
Good morning to you, Dr. Koontz. It is an honor and a privilege to have you on the airways, man. How many years did you play for the Packers? Five?
I was in Green Bay for 8 1 year in Seattle.
Wow, 8 years in Green Bay.
Let me ask you. I was in Green Bay.
Go ahead.
I was in Green Bay in 92. I was there when Gilbert walked into the locker room. I was Reggie White was sitting in his locker, soon to be his locker, back in probably maybe first week of maybe September 1st, September 2nd, 3rd of 1993. Me and Reggie White was having a conversation about him, that he was coming on board. And he was walking through the door at the time we was talking. So Gil and I go back over 30 years.
Did you get drafted by the Packers?
No, I come out of the NFL Europe.
Oh,
I did not get drafted by the Packers. I was with the NFL Europe. I was with the Ohio Glory, and I was like the defensive player of the year. They came and plucked me up and gave me a chance up in Green Bay, and the rest is history.
For those of us who don't know, man, what was it like to walk into Lambeau Field, man? And does that still impact you today?
Well, it was a dream come true on so many levels. You know, to have a dream at 9 years old to play at the highest level, to play in the National Football League. You know, as a child, you look at the small things. The reason why I wanted to go into the NFL because I was watching Monday Night Football one time, and I saw the two announcers. I think it was
Howard Cosell.
And I was looking at, I was looking at the backdrop, and they had a lot of tall buildings and hotels, and I thought it would be cool if I played in the NFL that I would get a chance to stay in one of those hotels the night before the game. So things like that kind of it brings it back that it's just a game when you're just a kid with aspirations and dreams. And I had a lot of people pouring a lot into me to give that opportunity to one day walk into Lambeau, walk into the locker room, and not only just walk in, but go in and be a fixture, be a leader. Go take everything that I learned from Eastern North Carolina growing up and make an impact in that locker room in Green Bay. Because you talk to Green, you talk to Gilbert, and we hear a lot of big names about the players on that team. You get Gilbert off mic and ask him, who was leading that team? who was the leader of that team?
The real leader.
And he'll tell you. And I don't have to brag about it or talk about it.
Oh, I thought it, so.
It's fact.
But he told me Brett Favre. I wasn't supposed to say that.
George knows.
Oh, okay.
Listen. I want to say this, man. George Koontz is a legend. It is a crying shame that he is not a Green Bay Packer Hall of Famer. Crying shame. The man put the work in. He put the time in. He put the knowledge in. I was so fortunate as a young guy that they, you know, they sit you in by groups. You know, defensive line over
right.
here. You know, it's just by so you guys can do whatever.
Right.
I did not sit with the defensive lineman. For some reason, I think it was because they didn't think I was going to be that long. I don't know. But they put me right at the break. I was right next to George Koontz and all the linebackers to the right. I was right next to Leroy Butler and all the DBs to the left. So I'm sitting there between those two guys with all this knowledge that they have. I thank God every day that they set me next to George Koontz and Leroy Butler. And George Koontz, I love you, brother, and there is no reason. We should start a campaign that you should be a Green Bay Packer Hall of Famer, because you didn't do it by running your mouth, George. You did it by play on the field. So I love you, brother, and you're a hell of a player, man.
You know, George, you were kind of a big linebacker, right? I mean, your height, what are you, about 6'2"?
Yep, 6'2".
What did you go, about 230, back in your playing days?
I was 245 at the time. All depends on if I had some bungalows or something like that.
But he ran like a deer, Earl. He ran like a deer.
Yeah. He was a runaway truck, huh?
Hey, Bay. Now, check this out now. We like to rap and everything now. Earl, if you was watching us on YouTube or wherever we on, man, he looked like he fell into a bowl of flour. But he gonna sit up here, George. You look good, man. You ain't got all this gray hair all over the place. I don't. Tell this dude why we got good genes. Tell him, please. Tell him, George.
Well, number one, you ain't.
Hey, don't interrupt George while he's talking. Tell him, George.
Well, first off, it's that water from West Virginia
that is Gilbert.
Yep. And then that water from Eastern North Carolina. I come out of a community that's over 300 years old. We just celebrated the black community I came out of, 310 years old. Talk to me, Earl. Talk to me.
Well, one of the things, George, that both you and Gilbert, the evil consequences of time will give you gray hair. You guys, a couple of young whippersnappers. Mm-hmm. When you come out of
a community that's over 310 years old, and we talking about going back into the 1700s, we talking about some excellent genes. Don't come with all that whippersnapping.
I'm not saying that you don't have some good genes. I've seen you, but you know. Hey, when you get Earl, a few years, Earl, let me put it this way.
Earl, don't stop defending yourself.
No, let me.
Why don't you ask him the question that you ask me every Monday morning before we do anything? Aaron.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you about Aaron Rodgers. Let me ask you, George.
Because I'm tired now, of asking
because
this question.
Because everybody's talking about Aaron Rodgers. One man. Now, you had Brett Favre, and so, right. You know, and I remember those days with Brett Favre, but Brett Favre wasn't as arrogant and cocky, or was he, as Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Give him the skinny, George. Give him the skinny.
Okay. That's what you want to go with, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there. I was on the outside looking in.
But you speak it like you just put it out there like you was there.
No, I was not there. I'll retract that.
But you just said that he wasn't. You just said he was not as arrogant as Brett Favre. So that tells me that you must know.
Well, when the doctor corrects me, I understand the pecking order. So, Doc, I will withdraw that. Was Brett Favre as cocky a guy as Aaron Rodgers? I'll put it in the form of a question. Is that acceptable, Doc?
That's acceptable. But I think there's different. Have you ever heard of where I grew up? We used to have window shades.
Yeah, we had window shades. Right.
Could you dress it up a little different? I don't know if you know where I'm going.
I know where you're going.
All right, then you can take it from there.
So let me ask.
Same thing, but just dressed up different.
Okay, so I mean, I understand. Aaron Rodgers is a lot more cerebral than Brett Favre was.
And I'll give you that.
Is safe to say that? Okay, and he's a
two totally different guys.
Man. And he's a master of communication.
But they learned from. It's like this: they're two totally different guys because Brett will run the ball. Aaron will stop at the line and throw the ball. His throws are different. They're just two different players. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, he's a quarterback. A quarterback gets whatever they want.
Yes, sir.
Can I give you my take real quick?
Yes, sir.
It really doesn't have nothing to do with Aaron or Brett. The missing piece with both of them is Reggie White. And you probably said, well, how did Reggie get into this conversation? To be a quarterback in the National Football League, that's a lot of weight, a lot of responsibility. You're the face of the organization. You're probably the highest paid player on the team, right?
Right.
They want you to be the spokesperson. So there's a lot of weight on you. And then they want you to go out there and perform and put up the points and get the W's and all of that. See, Brett Favre didn't have to really be Brett Favre at that time because he had Reggie White taking all that heat, taking all that leadership from him so he could go out there and do what he wanted to do, and that was have fun and throw that football around, and we had a chance to experience and see that. Okay. So now Reggie and Brett Favre was together. Brett was in Green Bay for a total of 16. Him and Reggie was together for six. Those 6 years, they went to two Super Bowls. After our late Reggie White passed on, Brett was in Green Bay for a total of a decade. Never went back. Never went back to the Super Bowl. So you said, okay, now how does Aaron Rodgers fit into it? Same thing. Money, which is great. Leadership, You got to play. You got to go out there and have fun. And you got to lead. Who was there to help him? In the beginning, it was kind of hit and miss. Then the Packers made a move and went and got a guy by the name of Charles Woodson. Took that pressure off of him. Let him play. Charles was the leader.
So, hey, George. Doc, I got to get you to hang on, man. We got to go to a break because,
How he slow walked that thing there to that connection. Oh,
yeah, but I got some beautiful stuff I want to ask him on the other side.
Wait, beautiful, but
I'm going to help him with the grave digger and the great Dr. George Kuntz is on the line. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Talk to me, babe.
You know me. Are you comfortable? Oh, yeah.
You want me to rap this verse for you?
Boom. Boom. Heavy, boom. Y'all. Boom. In the house. Once again.
You hear that flow? You hear that different flow from Biggie?
Well, you know, I'm listening to the music.
You hear the different flow from Biggie. That's all I need for you to say. Well, yes, I do. You cannot confuse the two. George, can you hear me?
I hear you.
He trying to tell me he couldn't tell the difference between Biggie and Heavy.
Well, I remember the song in the background that they sampled from.
They sampled. There you go.
Yeah.
There
so, okay. I get it.
You wait for somebody else to sing.
So, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show under the helmet with the grave digger and none other than the great George Dr. George Kuntz. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, Dr. Kuntz, man, you were talking about the importance of leadership and on a football field. And people would probably think, those of us who, you know, didn't have that opportunity, we would think that all the guys on the field had leadership or they wouldn't be there. I mean, they were stars on their prospective teams, leaders on their prospective teams. And you would not think that they would need to have the guys like Woodson and Reggie White. But according to you, yeah, it does matter.
It's vital. That may be the most important ingredient. You're not going to win no championship just with talent. You got to have leadership and different levels of leadership. There's a hierarchy within that organization, in any organization, for that matter.
So
guys have to know where they plug in.
So let me ask you, when you got a guy like...
Let me tell you this. If the people in Wisconsin knew the importance of Reggie White, they'd be snatching down names off libraries and schools and putting his name up and down Highway 41 and 43 constantly. They don't know what that man... Reggie White, man.
Well, you know, the essence of who he was, and I'm going back to Philadelphia, and what he did for people and communities, and even what he was attempting to do in Green Bay and Milwaukee. He was a spiritual
and
man.
Carolina.
When you school the NFL and win...
Yeah,
that tells you.
That's how free agency came into it.
And his wife. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. I mean, I'm thinking that's how free agency came into existence. It's like Curt Flood did in baseball.
Who?
Curt Flood.
What? Baseball?
Yeah. Well, anyway, but George, is it time to move on from Rodgers?
Ooh.
Is it time to move on?
Yeah.
Well, I think he still has the ability.
I've been trying to tell Roger.
I know, but you said you think he still has the ability, George, he had a butt.
George, we've been fussing about this. He's trying to say he's 40 years old and can't throw.
I didn't say he can't throw.
Can't throw like he used to. That's what you said.
Well, you know, he used to be able to move around.
And you say, I ain't never seen him move around like you say he moved around. I see him run up to that line and throw the ball.
I used to see Rodgers break away for 20-yard runs.
You did?
Critical junctures. We don't see him doing that anymore. He's 40 years old.
Okay. We're sorry, George, you used to do. Go ahead.
All right, okay. Go ahead. George, Doc?
Well, I can the man play without a doubt? I think there's other things at play outside of the football field. And hopefully they'll get that worked out.
Do you think he's going to remain in Green Bay? See that pause. Right.
Now, I don't know about that. Because if I've been asked this question 2 or 3 years ago, without a doubt. But I think now it's I think a lot of things has happened over the last 2 or 3 years. I can see if they both decide to move on. And Earl, you know, sports is a young man's game. If you think about it.
Yeah.
It's a
George, tell him.
You try to hold on. You want to play 20, 30 years, but it is truly a young man's game.
George, check this out. I've been trying to tell Earl, you know, because sometimes the athlete gets a bad rap because the upstairs. That's why I never hardly ever go upstairs at 1265. But upstairs is going to make that look good, and sometimes the athlete look bad, and they got the power to do that. You know what I'm saying? And people don't understand that because we love the Green Bay Packers. We love the car. If the Green Bay Packers was a car, we love that car. But the person that's driving that car may have or make animosity between downstairs and upstairs. Can't you explain that? Am I telling it kind of the way it's supposed to be told, George?
I would agree with that. It is a very interesting balance.
Yeah.
You know, with the player and the front office and the media. Coming into the NFL, one of the things that really shocked me, it wasn't that I could compete or play at that level once I got into the locker room and got onto the practice field. It was the other things I had to try to figure out and balance and understand. And that was the coaching, the politics. Mm-hmm. You know, you got politics and family. You got politics in the organization. You got a lot of things you have to balance, just like at Chevrolet or Ford, or at the radio station,
or at Marion University, or at Marion University, or at the university.
Right? It's not just you just going out there and being a quarterback. There's a lot of things going on.
You know, Doc, but I hate to leave it there, you and the Gravedigger, but, man, the clock on the wall.
It always goes fast.
Yeah, man, we got to do something about that, man.
Yeah.
Can we bring him back sometime in the future, man?
George, I always come back. Teammates never say no to teammates.
All right, listen, man, we got to run. Thank you very much, Dr. Coons. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Gravedigger. We'll be back on Monday. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. What do you want to tell them, Gilbert?
All right. And Gilbert, keep rocking that biggie, Gilbert. Keep rocking that biggie.